Good morning. Welcome to the Ad Hoc Board Bylaws Review Committee. My name is Susan Cox, and I'd like to start with roll call. Michelle Weber.
Here.
Actually, I should have called the meeting to order. Now we'll have roll call. Michelle.
Here.
Emily.
Here.
And Susan, I'm here. Thank you. I don't have a lot of remarks, except I want to make sure that we thank Camille for all the hard work she's put into managing this process for us. And Michelle and I were saying, we think we're really close to the finish line. So hopefully that we'll be able to do that today. So we have just a few documents to review, and Mark isn't joining us, but Camille, did you have any remarks on behalf of Mark?
I do not at this time.
Okay. I bet he's saying onward and upward. Okay. I think if we can start with the transit bylaws, should we do that? It's the shorter document, 1 of 5. And I'm assuming, Camille, that the comments in purple are the ones from Andrea?
Yes, the ones off to the
in the margin
side of the document.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So do either one of you have comments before I weigh in? I don't have a lot.
Susan, you said you wanted to start with the bylaws, but I think the bylaws is 12 pages. Did you want to do the 5-page working agreement first?
I apologize. Yeah, it is the policies and guidelines working agreement. Yeah.
Okay, it's thank a short you. I'm going to make sure.
5 pages, sorry. Yep. And the first comment from Andrea is on page 4, I believe. The one thing I was wondering on page, on bullet point number 3, where it says board members may request agenda, but then it says, which are the regularly scheduled meetings for the third Wednesday of each month. Does that specificity need to be here? Because it seems like that could change.
Yeah, we could just say just a regular board meeting.
Yeah, regular scheduled meetings. Yeah. That way, if it changes, it have to be changed to reflect that. Michelle, do you think that works for you?
I'm trying, which one are you on?
13, where it says board members may request agenda, which are scheduled regular board meetings scheduled for the third Wednesday of each month. And instead of being that specific about the third Wednesday, just to say at the regularly scheduled meetings.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think we can take the other part out of there.
Susan, do you want to just go from the beginning and just confirm we're happy with the red line items? Sorry, because I was looking at the comment from Andrea, the first one on page 4, but maybe we should just
okay
at the top. Is that easiest?
Page 1. Yeah.
I'm trying to keep it clear on where I'm at.
Okay, page 1. Any comments?
I don't have anything for page 1.
There were really not changes, were there?
I don't think so.
Yeah. And page 2, I don't think there were changes.
Just the one that you just mentioned on page on number 13?
No, that's on page
3. I'm good with page 2.
Oh, okay. Okay, mine says page 3 of 5.
Yes.
Yeah, that looks good with the comment that you made about the okay. scheduling. That's a good point.
And what about any of the other changes or additions?
Yeah, so on page 3, I just wanted to point out number 15, the hold quarterly board member working agreement check-ins with fellow board members. I just was, I thought we had talked about not doing quarterly. I thought it was a periodic or as needed.
Yeah, so I went back and listened through the last meeting, and I really wasn't able to find clarity on that. So I left it there the way it was for you guys to advise on.
Which number are you looking at, Emily?
Number 15, on page 3 of 5, number 15.
So instead of hold quarterly, are you saying hold regular or as needed?
I would just remove the quarterly and say hold board member working agreement check-ins with fellow board members, comma, as needed. But I'm open to other suggestions.
I mean, I think that works. That works for me.
It's fine with me.
It might need to be more often or less often.
So. Right. That was my thought. It could be weekly, it could be monthly. And then same thing on number 12, sorry to go back up. I felt like we were committing the GM to weekly, pre-scheduled weekly times, and that may or may not be appropriate going forward. Should we say again, kind of similar, pre-scheduled, like I do like that there's something kind of a standing meeting option, but I don't know if we should put weekly in there just because we don't know what that next person's style or preferences might look like. What do you guys think?
I agree with that. Should it say
at a pre-scheduled time?
By the general manager? That way it isn't necessarily weekly.
Yeah.
You could just say either at pre-scheduled meeting times that the general manager has committed. You could just change it to that.
Mm-hmm.
What about just at the at a pre-scheduled time that the general manager has committed?
That's fine too.
Instead of taking out E, just start with capital A at the pre-scheduled or at a pre-scheduled.
Well, I think you could probably just take the period after building and just make that a whole sentence.
At a pre-scheduled time set by the GM or an alternatively designated time or means. Does that cover it?
I think so.
And it'll probably be just one line shorter. Good job. I liked everything else. I'm just skipping down to the next section. I don't know about you guys.
Okay. I think that's as we agreed last time.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys comfortable with number 4? I just wanted to get some more clarity on that one as well. Because Susan, at one point you had said you felt like the GM's job is to communicate to the full board. And then there's a president, vice president section that says assist in that communication. So just wanted to clarify, did you get that sort of more robust communication to the full board that you were looking for?
I think so.
Okay. Michelle, do you have any thoughts on that? Are you good?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, that's just kind of setting an expectation as we're, you know, kind of working through. Each board might have a different perspective on that. So I think it's good to keep it a little generic.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering if it's even practical to maybe combine some of these. They're pretty redundant. I mean, for the general manager to have 4 or 15 and then the president to have 6, it seems like.
Well, I think the probably kind of the tone behind that is to make sure that the communication is happening. So if it's something that the general manager has asked the chair to communicate, you know, I think there's a time for either or to happen. Mm-hmm. Kind of depending on situations.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that much specificity is what other people want. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I thought the role of the board with approximately 15, the role of the president, vice president with 6, mm-hmm. and then the role of the GM with 10 mm-hmm. seemed okay. I just want to make sure that this is sort of a silly HR question, but the role of the GM, that's not going to necessarily be like their job description, or we can stay with our process with our review process and so forth that we've sort of set the path for. Does that make sense? I just want to make sure we're not adding like something else that we need to be sharing with Mark Esch, for example.
No, these are actually statutorily required responsibilities of the general manager, numbers 1 through 10. So legally that is his job, or that is the general manager's job.
Yeah,
from board collaboration down, that is more between the board and the general manager.
Thank you. I think you had told us that before, so thanks for that clarity. You know, I appreciate that reminder.
Anything else? Ready to move on to page 4? Camille, can you clarify, this section could use a revision to clean up the language and make it more consistent. Was there a suggestion for doing that?
No. No, that is the comment. So all of counsel's comments, I have left them exactly verbatim as she gave them. And I did not make any revisions per her recommendation yet. I wanted to wait for the committee's review and direction.
I guess it'd be helpful for me to actually see what the suggested edit is.
Yeah, me too, because I actually liked this section because I thought it was more clear and direct. Like if you're representing yourself, then make sure you're saying that. If you're representing the board, make sure it's the unified decision. So I didn't know what was maybe too informal about any of that. So I'm happy to be pickier, but I don't know what specifically we could do.
I can certainly send it back to council and ask for recommended revisions.
I mean, I certainly agree with adding the word board to the communication, board communication with the general public, where before it's just general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only other comment on page 5 of 5, number 6, is just missing an S after goes, or what should be goes.
Which one, Emily?
Page 5 of 5, number 6, just a little edit. I mean, non-material.
I see that. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, and I have one on page 4 under board collaboration, sentence number 5, where it says work with the president and vice president to effectively bring information and issues to the board. So that, I would change that to they.
Yes. Good point.
Not that we haven't changed this 800 million times, Camille. I'm impressed that you kept up with this.
I have tried to capture every revision you guys have requested.
Okay. I've done a great job of it.
For number 5 on page 5 of 5, I think that the 3-minute public comment, I think that 3-minute can vary depending on the number of folks wanting to make a comment. Should we say in the form of a specified time? Camille, is that right? Can we make that adjustment if we see, you know, significant public comment? Okay, I think we should change that.
Yes, three is the standard. On rare occasion, when we have, for example, 20 people wanting to provide testimony, we will make the adjustment down. Whatever's necessary. Or the board president will.
Yeah. Would it be in the form of...
up to 3 minutes.
Or designated time for public comment.
I'm fine with either of those.
So you're looking at the second sentence in number five.
Yeah, it just says, that said, most public entities provide an opportunity for the public to comment in the form of a 3 minute time for public comment. And I think I would just say, you know, within a designated time or up to 3 minutes or something of that nature.
Even to just say the announced time for public comment, because it would be announced prior to everything starting, right?
Yes. So if I could offer a recommendation, I would suggest keeping the sentence as it is and maybe just adding a statement that this time can be adjusted depending on the circumstance, because I think it is valuable to have a guideline that we use for public testimony. And 3 minutes is really the standard. Mm-hmm. I think the council does 2 minutes because they have, you know, they have more people than our 7-member board. So that we're not leaving it too open. I would be concerned about leaving it open.
So just in parentheses say, on occasion this can be adjusted or?
That would be my recommendation.
In circumstances, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Camille, you usually say something like they can only speak one time or something of that nature. Can you remind us? You kind of sounds like pretty routine comment. Do you happen to know that off the top of your head? Limited to
mostly. So it's the instructions that I read through for the regular board meeting and the budget committee and SPC and whatnot. I just state that state their name and the who they're representing, their city of residence, that we do limit public testimony to 3 minutes, and community members are only allowed one opportunity to speak. And that is a standard. It's a best practice. It is also adjustable by the board president.
Thank you. Okay, here's my edit if you guys will have it. I would say an opportunity for public comment can be permitted up to 3 minutes and one opportunity per community member.
So let me ask this then. Is it necessary in this board GM working agreement to spell out the specific rules for how we're going to accept public testimony? Is that related to the board GM relationship?
No, but you did just say it would be helpful to spell it out for a guideline.
Well, so we do that in each public meeting. Mm-hmm. It's up to the committee, but I would question whether it's relevant between the board and general manager working agreement.
Good comment.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's necessarily relevant to our relationship with the general manager. I think it's if you're reading through this, it just kind of tells you and sets an expectation and gives you kind of what the process would look like in most cases.
I'm fine with striking it. I mean, do you feel like there should be anything about, you know, if you have questions about following up on that public comment, or, you know, we're not going to deliberate it right afterwards, things of that nature. Should that be here? Or should that be in bylaws? Or, I mean, if it's a standard, I think we should have it somewhere, but I don't know that we need to spell out the details.
I don't think I'd want to put this in the bylaws, but I think it's just giving us direction that, you know, kind of we're there to listen to what the public has to say, but not necessarily get into that conversation right in that moment. You know, so I think it's just kind of giving us that. This is how we kind of operate the public comment section.
I guess, you know, the one thing, this does go into pretty, I mean, when it goes into the details to say the president may thank the individual for feedback. I mean, that's pretty in the weeds there. So if that's going to be in there, I think probably, you know, the guidance of the 3 minutes and the one per person, either that or just make it more generally written all the way through. With the assistance of the vice president, this is not a time for board members to engage in dialogue.
So maybe is, I wonder if there's some background or some history as to why it got this detailed. Because most of the statements in here are fairly generic. So I'm just curious if there's some history that created this, the specifics of this one particular bullet point.
You know, I don't have an answer for that. This document was created well before my time, and the majority of it in the original document was written before my time. So I don't know the context behind our bullet.
I wouldn't mind if we have something in there that just says, you know, public comments may be permitted, you know, following public meeting law. Typically, you know, the LTD board does not respond in the moment to public comment, and follow-up questions can be directed to the GM for follow-up. Like, I think the other bullet point itself is good. I think it's just really detailed on the comment part, and maybe it should just be more, what's the board behavior expectation instead?
I mean, I'd like to add, not only are they allowed, but that it's welcomed. I think that, you know, from my perspective, I would like the public to hear that public comment is allowed, but it's also welcomed, that the board is interested in hearing what people have to say.
So I think we just need to keep in mind that this document is really an internal document, and, you know, for to just kind of set the tone for the board roles and responsibilities and our relationship with the general manager. So I guess I would ask again how specific we need to be in here. I kind of have a feeling that there was something happening with a board at this time that got it to be this specific.
But yeah, this is under board communication with the general public and LTD staff. Mm-hmm. And even if it is an internal document, I think it's important for staff to hear that the board welcomes public comment.
Yeah, I think it goes back to, I'm sorry, Susan, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I just.
So I wanted to have that culture and tone. And so maybe, you know, if we're setting those expectations of what that working agreement is between the two parties and the general public and LTD staff, maybe we say, you know, public comment periods are not required, but we welcome the opportunity to hear from the public. Here's how that looks. We don't participate in dialogue. We hear the comment and then we do follow up later. Does that sound closer?
So as it's written is what it was in the original document, correct? Okay.
Well, I think if we're gonna look at this, so that second sentence starts with you know, that said, most public entities provide an opportunity to the public for comment in the form of a 3-minute time for public comment.
Right.
I think we could probably just change that sentence and not tie it to what most public entities do for starters, but just say, the Lane Transit District Board welcomes public comment. And then kind of find a way to tie in that 3 minutes or as determined by the board in that meeting. You know, if there's 30 public comments and we want to shrink it down to 2 minutes or, you know, whatever that adjustment might look like.
My guess is that these middle sentences going into a bit of detail about the process may have been because a particular board was not understanding the process for public comment and was possibly engaging in conversation with community members providing public testimony when that's really not best practice. We allow the community an opportunity to come and provide public testimony, but it's not a public meeting is not the time to engage in a conversation about that particular comment. That's for staff to follow up on after the meeting and then circle back with the community member and the board member or interested board member or the full board. So I'm guessing that the purpose was really to just provide the board with a guide on, from the board's standpoint, this is your responsibility with public testimony. Don't ask responsive questions. Thank them for their testimony and you follow up with staff after.
Mm-hmm. That's my guess too.
I'm having a hard time hearing you. I don't know if others are.
Oh.
No, I can hear.
It's okay. I am on a new headset. My dog chewed up my old one, and this is the first time I've used it. So thank you.
So I think we could probably find a way to condense this just a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a sentence.
I can make some adjustments.
Potential option, and you guys tell me if I'm close, and Camille maybe wordsmith it afterwards. I just put public meetings law do not provide the public the right to participate. However, the LTD board welcomes public comment and community engagement. The president and vice president ensure comments are kept within the stated time, and the board will not engage in deliberations as any follow-up can be directed to the GM.
Did you eliminate the public has a right to attend any public meetings?
Yeah, because we already know that, right? That's part of our obligation. I don't know that that needs to be in there, but we can always add that little part back in. Barring that one.
And I like your comment, your edit. I was just thinking that.
Do you want that first part back in there? That'd be easy to add.
I mean, I can go either way, but I like your shortened up version.
I think we should move on.
I'm fine with that. The only other thing I just real quick would maybe try to add in there is that the board, what would be nice to know is what the response to the public comments are. Like, what is that follow up and what were those responses? You know, I think sometimes we see those, but not necessarily always. And it would just be, we hear the public comments, but I don't know that we always see the responses. Okay.
What would you like? How could you add that clarity?
Well, at the end of this, where we say board members have questions, if board members have questions following public comment, those questions can be directed to the general manager for follow-up. But I would also maybe there add that the general manager will follow up with the board.
And inform the board. Yeah.
We'll inform the board of what those responses were. Just so we're aware that the one that they happened into what the, you know, what the, those community members are hearing or, you know, that took the time to come in and speak with us or to us or share with us.
Okay. So if we added, Susan, the first sentence back in right before the comma, And then maybe Michelle at the end, say at the end of whatever I wrote, that the GM will inform board of the follow-up responses. Would that capture everybody's?
What about we'll follow up and report back to the board?
Perfect. Yeah, something along that line.
I have that sentence if you want me to email it to you, Camille, and then you can make it better.
That would be great. Thank you.
Oh, and then Andrea had one more comment at the bottom regarding the evaluation process.
Well, I think it is self-assessment. So I guess I thought it was pretty... You wanted to say board manages
the process. Yeah, I think she's just saying that it's not clear who initiates the process here.
Well, it could so maybe be the if board I initiates itself. And manages the process.
What was that, Camille?
Maybe if I just added self and a hyphen in front of evaluation, so it's a self-evaluation of board operational procedures.
Yeah, this is interesting. It kind of makes board it sound like I'm going to decide, and then Michelle's going to decide, and then Susan's going to decide. So maybe it's a collaborative board evaluation of the board itself. Does that?
Well, isn't a board, so a board... A board evaluation is kind of a process, and I would think would need mediation. So, right, because it would be a quorum and a public meeting, and we would have to have that assessment or evaluation mediated, I would think.
Well, I was thinking that evaluation starts with a self-assessment survey that board members decide. What are the criteria around which we're going to judge our involvement? But it's all the same, that it's a group process.
Right. And I think that the process is something that we would need to define.
Right.
But I think the question Andrea is asking here is who initiates that? Who makes sure it's happening? Is that the board president? Is that the general manager? I think that's where she's trying to get some clarification.
I think since it's a board process, it should be managed by the board.
So the board president would initiate that?
I would say so.
Okay. I think that's what she's looking for.
Yeah.
So we probably just
need to. And that can be spelled out more clearly. Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of think you're right, Michelle, if we're going to refer to a process, I think maybe there's some sort of a, by way of an annual electronic survey, just so that it's sort of like, what is the expectation and did it get, is it marked off the to-do list and is the appropriate follow-up taken or, if we're going to do it, what are we doing with it? Like, what's the next step?
Objective. Yeah.
So I don't know if we have five generic survey questions will be provided and then you'll be followed up with by the president. I mean, it could be just really, really short and sweet, but right, if we're going to put this in there, I think it should have some sort of context.
It might be worth having some guidance from, like with the school board we had that was facilitated by the Oregon School Board Association, mm-hmm. generally, they would come and facilitate that process. So I don't know, maybe it would be worth just seeing what those facilitator options would be. I think TransPro would probably, be able to do something for us there, or the SDAO maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have probably some options there that, and they could maybe give us kind of what a standard process looks like.
Yeah, I guess I'm confused. So are we doing a self-assessment or are we going to have this a third-party evaluation, right? Like, is it facilitated or is it just a general discussion?
I don't know that I have a preference. I just want to make sure that whatever we do, we follow public meeting laws and don't get ourselves into any, issues in there. So I don't know. Does a survey?
I think guidance in establishing a process would be helpful.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we're doing it in the in the right way.
I'm happy to provide some, pull up and provide some best.
Sounds good.
Okay.
I like it, you guys. Good comments.
I guess we're done with page 1 to 5. Now on to page 1 to 12. The bylaws. Just start at the beginning. I mean, there's not changes everywhere. Starting with page 1, there's no changes unless people have something to add. So going on to page 2, 2.3 is that's about the census, which it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. I think it just outlines the fact that that could change what your position is, if any, at that point.
Emily, you in agreement?
Yeah, sorry, I don't have any comments until page 5, so sorry if I missed something.
Okay, so on page 3, there were some other
what header are you under, just to make sure we're...
I'm looking at page resignation and removal on page 3, 2.7. Based on board member violation of law, policy, or ethics, the board with a majority vote may make a recommendation to the governor for removal from the board. So that's the addition.
I'm comfortable with what that says.
I'm certainly comfortable with the violation of law policy. I think ethics could be pretty subjective.
I think that ties back to ethics law, though. I think that is that, Camille, is that?
But I think that's also pretty subjective. It's the interpret. I mean, that can be interpreted by different people differently. So
which would you? Oh, go ahead, Emily. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask. Then, would you want it to say violation of law, policy, or ethics laws, or just law or policy?
I mean, from my perspective, law or policy would be easy to identify and be able to point to specificity of this is why the board's taking this action. When it comes down to ethics, I think it gets a little bit more gray.
Are you thinking like personal politics or something of that nature, Susan, where it's just maybe more personal opinion?
I mean, I think it could be.
Well, ethics law refers to a whole bunch of different things, though, right?
But you've covered that in laws.
I don't have it sitting here right in front of me, but it refers to
or ethics law.
Yeah. So maybe we just say ethics law. And, you know, I would think at a point that we got to that stage, hopefully we're doing our research before we take it to that level and making sure we're really, you know, understanding what we're recommending and based on what.
I might be ignorant on this, but are we covering ethic law when we say law, or do we need to say it as ethics law? Does that make sense? Is it repetitive to say it that way, or is it fine to say law or policy?
I mean, if I'm understanding you, Emily, so if we said based on board member violation of ethics law or policy, and then take out that ethics piece, because I think that's what we're trying to get to is ethics law. And there are, like I said, a whole bunch of different things around ethics law, you know, so.
But do we want to remove violation of law?
I mean, I feel like that I'm sort of thinking really silly, but like if somebody gets a drunk driving ticket, is that grounds for removal because they've broken a law? Or are we really talking about policy and ethic law. I think all of this is good. I just don't know what we're actually saying.
I mean, I think we should probably stick to policy and ethics law as we're required to follow as board members.
Oh, you're muted.
Well, this wasn't in there before. only the governor has the authority to remove the director prior to the expiration of the term. Based on a board member violation. Yeah.
Camille, you were muted. I didn't know if you wanted to repeat yourself. Still muted.
Apologies. Audio issues today. I have actually lost my thought at the moment.
Michelle had said something about, making sure that we're not in violation of our own, ethics and laws and things.
Yes. And so by law, it's referring to the law that the board is bound to, the statutes and administrative rules and whatnot, not law in general, which of course we want to promote following all laws as citizens. But in this context, it's referring to the statutes and administrative rules that the board and the district follow.
Based on that information, I'm comfortable if we put that more specified language just to make sure that there's no sort of judge and jury situation being created. Okay.
So just add that explanation in there, what Camille was just saying, describing. Mm-hmm. Michelle, are you okay with that?
Yes. I think that the word law probably is a little, maybe a little too vague. So I think if we say, public meeting laws, policy, ethics, all of those things that we are required to follow as board members, I think that's the tone we were trying to get in with that comment. Just that if there is a concern, we have the ability to get to the governor with a recommendation based on a violation of one of those major components that we as board members are required to adhere to.
I like that. It makes it feel a little bit more accountable to say, we can take care of some of these issues ourselves, and we are making this recommendation sort of more of an official capacity.
Okay. I do think that addition of that Camille talked about is important just as a practical matter. There's no guessing about what that means.
Right. Yeah. So I think we can add some clarity to the statement.
I'm sorry, I did miss one thing. Can we go back one page? I'm on page 5 of 12. Under 2.3 for number and representation. I think it's really detailed, the red line edits that we added. I'd like to just say, occasionally the US Census may affect our sub-districts. And again, would not be able to continue serving in their original sub-district. So I think that should just be really short. Sorry, picky, but I just thought
detailed.
And I think they would, it's implied that they would be able to reapply for their new position and their down the road. So I think there's just some extra language there, but I'm not married to that either.
So just strike the first sentence and start with district adjustments could result, that sentence?
So just the middle, I would keep the middle two sentences and then remove the first and last essentially. But
yeah, I agree with that.
It doesn't lose any context.
I'm fine with that.
Good catch, Emily.
Yep. Okay. And then going back to the 6 of 12, sorry, 2.9, I just had a comment on. We're ready. And I'm sorry, jump in. I just thought I had a little bit of a concern about the complaints part from the public to the board regarding LTD related matters to go to the clerk of the board and the general manager for initial review. I think we've kind of talked about this in our harassment policy a little bit, but I just had concerns that if there was ever a complaint about our GM or not Camille, but some other clerk of the board, that there's some other process of, or, you know, there's an HR person or something of that nature that would be an appropriate secondary avenue in the event that those complaints were inappropriate to take to one of those two folks. Does that make sense? Sorry, that was lengthy.
So like for example, right now there's no HR director. So what is the gap in between? Is there a whistleblower? I mean, their LTD has a whistleblower policy, right? And if not, they're covered by federal whistleblower law. But that's really ramping it up to a whole different level. Do you have recommended wording?
I don't. This one I struggled with. I just thought that, you know, it sounds really straightforward, you know, look at the board working agreement, so on and so forth. But then I thought, gosh, you know, if there was ever an issue, should that complaint come to the president of the board? You know, if all three of those folks are who the subject of the complaint is, then who does it go to? And it just started getting a little bit snowball effect, and hopefully would never be an issue, but it just raised a question mark. Because we don't have like an HR team, or I mean, we don't have a conflict resolution team, or maybe that's something.
This is speaking to comments from the, well, all communication, but specifically referencing including complaints from the public.
Yeah. So maybe can we move complaints out of the sentence and address it separately? Sorry, Michelle, I didn't mean to interrupt again.
That's okay. I'm just thinking that. Trying to remember the context of some of these conversations that we've had earlier. And I feel like this one was related to us not necessarily having the information needed to respond to that, concern. And that maybe the general manager or staff might have a better response based on their, you know, role in the organization. So I kind of think, if I remember right, that's where this started from. Mm-hmm.
Well, this was also where Mark was saying he wanted the board to copy him on all emails and communication. And that's his preference, but another GM might have a different perspective.
Yeah.
Well, I think in this context, it's not so much his preference that the board copy him on all correspondence. It's really if a community member sends an email to a board, whether it's a compliment, a complaint, a request for information, whatever kind of context it is, that's a public record. And so as staff, we have regulations we have to adhere to maintain public records. And so we need to have copies of all of those. The board emails can be publicly requested.
Right.
So every correspondence as a board member that you have is a public record, whether you want it to be or not. So
right. I think we're maybe talking about two different kinds of communication.
Okay. Okay. I may have totally misunderstood. I just wanted to make sure that piece was clear. Right. It's Mark's preference. Yeah. It's really necessary.
Yeah. I totally agree. I like that all communications from the public, you know, does go through the clerk of the board and GM for review, but also for retention purposes, right? So, but I for some reason that complaints part just stuck out to me this time around. And I just felt uncomfortable. Maybe we should have a little sentence that says, you know, complaints, you know, are to go this route, or maybe complaints should follow a separate policy. I wanted to give, like, just thinking about our, I guess maybe in the context of our harassment policy and discrimination, I just thought, if I thought that I was supposed to follow the bylaw and not the policy, maybe those are giving me two different directions, I guess is where I was landing, of just lack of clarity. I'll give you a silly example in case it helps. Let's say there's some sort of issue of, let's say, sexual harassment against somebody named in this current policy, or in the bylaw rather. And now you're saying all my complaints, all my communication, including complaints, have to go through the two people that might be a subject of this complaint. So how do we assist that person to make their report with this bylaw as is, versus directing that to the discrimination harassment policy instead?
Could we solve for that by saying, so right now we're referencing the board governance policy manual as an additional place to, you know, get clarification. Could we solve for your concern, Emily, by saying, or the harassment policy as depend, like public, I don't know. I think we could wordsmith that to say, if it's this situation you refer here, if it's this situation, it would follow this policy.
That would make me feel better. I think it would create clarity and cohesion in the two documents. So I'd say all communication from the public does go through the clerk and the general. Further guidance is the board working agreement. Further guidance is in the event of a complaint or concern, harassment, discrimination policy.
So maybe just a little more clarification and tie to that other policy as well.
Yeah, that would make me feel better. I don't know. I felt like there was a potential conflict there.
Camille, did you get that? Yeah, I mean, I think we're talking about two different situations that are being covered in one policy. And the public communication part makes sense as it's done, but the internal is something different. Am I hearing that properly? Okay. Michelle, does that work for you?
Yes, I think we can just say that this situation goes to this policy, this situation goes to this right. policy. And then we know what we're tying to.
Okay, so are we on to page 4, Article 3? Is there any addition, excuse me, or changes to the 3.3.1?
I think it's closer. I'm still not totally satisfied with it.
What would you add or take away?
Well, I think the president deciding who's allowed to attend an executive session is still a little bit more authority than what I would like to see in there. I think the president may call for special meetings, but so can the rest of the board. So I think there's just some grayness in clarity there. The rest of it is fine.
So in 4.1.2, Emily, just as part of, because I think it ties to that, the president of the board or a majority of the directors may call for a special meeting. Does that?
And I would just remove the sentence in 3.3.1 so that it doesn't sound like the president's the only one that can do that.
Right, because it is in another bullet point that makes more clear there.
So delete the president, which one? The sentence, the president may call for special meetings of the board. just to delete that because it's addressed in the next one.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's already, it's addressed in another bullet point.
Yeah. And the only reason I do note that the board majority can overrule decisions made by the board president as the last sentence of 3.3.1. But in the event of an executive session, that attendance may already be in place before the board can have an opportunity to discuss and vote. So that was my only concern about having it. Having both of those sentences in the same one doesn't actually create any opportunity for the board to leave.
So are you saying, how would you change that last sentence then? Is that the one you're talking about?
No, I like the last sentence. I guess the part I have a reservation about is that with the exception of members of the media, other directors and the GM, the president shall decide who is allowed to attend an executive session of the board. It's just really tricky because I think there is, you know, a component of notifying people that this meeting's happening, but also it creates a conflict because the board majority can't be determined until you're actually in that session and able to have a discussion and vote on it. So just, it's sort of an unfair.
I agree with that
situation.
Yeah. With the exception of
members. So I don't know how to fix it.
I'm sorry, I'm not really understanding what you're saying. And I want to make the point that in executive session, no vote can be held. Only discussion about a statutorily approved topic. Forgive me if maybe I haven't had enough coffee. I'm not totally understanding your point about that.
No, that's a good point. So I guess and then that just raises more concerns for me, frankly, but bottom line is if the president is determining who attends an executive session based on the topic, and then the board disagrees with that decision, there's no way for the board to get that communicated in a timely and appropriate manner that wouldn't be violating public meeting law.
Right. Okay. So I think what the context of this is, we have to allow the media.
Sure.
The board is going to be present, the general manager, and then it's referring to any other relevant staff. I think that would need to be there to provide it the needed information for the board to discuss. So like in executive sessions, not all staff need to be there, only specific staff, because it is confidential information. So the whole district may not be aware and of what's going on with a particular
situation. Yeah, I think we all agree to that. My concern is that it's subjective who's going to attend an executive session. And if that decision is the general manager and the president, that doesn't give other board members an opportunity to indicate people that they would like included. And we've lived through that. And I'd like to see in the future that doesn't happen again.
And Camille, just from a clarification standpoint, when we do an executive session, I mean, is the president really looking through the attendance list and approving it? Or are you and Mark doing that? And then if there's anybody else to add, then that conversation happens afterwards, just sort of efficiency's sake.
So when we have an executive session scheduled, I confirm with the general manager, the executive staff whose topic it is, and the board president who needs to be in attendance for that particular executive session, whether general counsel needs to be there or which support staff need to be there, or if it's only going to be the directors, if I'm even allowed to be there, I confirm that with those parties.
Okay. So can we just remove that sentence because the president really isn't deciding who's attending? It's really more kind of a point of order, kind of a discussion with the GM?
My recommendation would be to maybe refer back to the best practices that I sent at the previous meeting for the officer authority levels and roles of the officers, including the board president. And maybe we can come back one more time for some additional discussion on that. And I'm also happy to request a best practice from general counsel as well, if that's helpful.
I mean, I think that general best practice and what happens in other places is important, a consideration, but I also think that the board has a responsibility to put together things that we believe work for our organization. And I guess one thing I'm confused about is if this is board of directors, then I don't understand why the general manager would be the one responsible for guiding what the meeting would be. Obviously, they'd be intimately involved with it. But it doesn't seem that it would be only at the direction of the general manager.
No, and I don't, and it isn't. So perhaps I miscommunicated. It's not at the discretion of solely at the discretion of the general manager. But I confirm all of the aforementioned parties because perhaps the board president and the general manager have had a conversation that I'm not in the loop on.
Sure.
And since I see the facilitation, right, I need to communicate with all relevant parties to make sure, sure, I'm fully informed.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not talking about who communicates to tell them to be at the meeting, but rather the decision of determining it. Here it says the general manager and the president. If we're saying it's not just the president, but the full board should have an opportunity to request people to participate. And if we take that out, then it leaves it to be the purview of the general manager. Mm. I mean, to be honest with you, the role of the president that was in the very first document before we started doing anything seemed adequate and appropriate.
Would it help if we said the president and vice president, or is there another sort of way to get to what we are hoping to see accomplished here rather than either striking that completely or leaving it as is?
What about the board, the president in consultation with other board members, so that any board member could say,
yeah, but then you want that conversation in executive session. That's why this is tricky.
Sure.
This is a tough one. Anyway,
I guess what is important to me is that there is equity in terms of board involvement. And this doesn't do that.
Do you have any experience with other boards that have resolved this well?
You know, any board I've served on has, the only thing I could compare it to this situation is the school board. And that was always determined by the district administration and the board president, as just that was the role of the president. And I think it's a fairly standard role for the president.
I think that's true in elected officials, but we're appointed. And on the advisory committee I'm on the commission for the AAPI, and it is the board as a collective that makes decisions.
So how do you determine, to Emily's point, how do you determine who's going to be in that executive session and include the full board? How does that process look?
They ask the board.
In what way? Like an email or?
if I could interrupt for just a moment, just a quick point of order. We noticed this meeting for 1 hour from 11 to 12, and it's 12:05. And we also for one with Metro TV. So I just want to be mindful of schedules. I don't know if they have a conflict coming up, and we may need to be cut off. It sounds like perhaps we need to schedule another meeting to continue to review, discuss some of these items. Mm-hmm. Is the committee comfortable with that?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder at this point if it would make sense to send this latest version to the full board to see if, I guess we could wait till later, but I think that asking the whole board to participate in that decision, we might do it now rather than at the end.
You know, I kind of feel like we should probably try to wrap this up and not get stuck in this conversation between the three right. of us. Because I think we know what we're trying to accomplish. We're just not quite getting there. So other than incorporating Andrea's comments, I really didn't have any other feedback. I feel like we can just maybe make these adjustments, send it to the board for review, and we can have this conversation at, you know, whatever board meeting we have.
Right. I think this. The one thing I would do is on page 7, 4.4.4, at Andrea's suggestion, I would just eliminate email meetings. I'm not even sure they comply with public records law.
Right, I would incorporate Andrea's comments.
But it's not encouraged.
Pardon?
Legally, they are allowed. They are statutorily allowed. But it's not common. And in this day and age, not very encouraged.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the things, the first bullet point from Andrea is just to delete it. So I would be all for just deleting it.
I agree.
Oh, that was easy. You know what? Maybe we do need another meeting because I was wondering on page 6 when it talks about malfeasance. That's another, I think, kind of a murky area. Who's going to determine malfeasance? 7.1 on page 8.
I have a suggestion, and this might be silly, and I don't know if it'd be a good use of Andrea's time, but I would love to do what Michelle, maybe marry the two ideas. Michelle, get this to the full board, and then maybe have Andrea be a part of that conversation. So those more specific things that are legally, just more helpful for her to weigh in on with the whole board there, I think might be able to do two birds with one stone. And just have clarity for the full board about what these things mean and make sure that we've covered our bases the way that we intended.
And should we just do this at the next meeting, the next full board meeting? Is that what we're recommending? Would we be ready by then?
Is it on the May agenda? I can't remember where I saw the last.
So the agenda for the April regular board meeting is full as it stands now. We could make time on the May regular meeting, or we could put it into a board session.
Or put it into a board what, Camille?
Work session.
Work.
Could we just put that in the May 4th work session?
That was my next thing I was looking at, and the April 6th work session has been canceled. The May 4th work session is also full with agenda items as it stands. The June 1st work session, there is room.
I feel like we're going to forget all of these really important conversations between now and June.
Yeah, that seems like a long, I'm hoping we have it wrapped up before then. So
yeah,
what about sending this, the corrections out, you know, the most recent update. And as Michelle suggested, that those go out to everybody for review, and we really encourage them to do that. And then when there is a meeting, so those other meetings are entirely full. There's no way to accommodate or make some adjustment.
I can certainly, I can absolutely go back and review the agenda items that are already scheduled with Mark, see what adjustments can be made.
Sure.
Just something for consideration. You could request that General Counsel attend your next committee meeting, and you can work through these last revisions with her present for her feedback in that format if you'd like, and then have it the draft a little more final to take back to the board.
I think I'd reverse that, have this go to everyone, get their feedback, and then have Andrea speak to everybody. I think that this is important enough that everyone hear it. Is there any way to the April 6th work session, is there any way to put that back on the calendar?
I don't believe for April 6th, but I could schedule a special meeting. Now, keep in mind, we do have a special meeting scheduled for April 12th regarding, and that's an executive session regarding GM recruitment. There is a doodle poll out for a second special meeting executive session in April for, again, GM recruitment. So April is a bit full, but I am more than happy to look at an additional date as well, if the committee would like.
I feel like maybe I'm hearing the easiest thing might be just to see if there's something we can push that isn't timely on an upcoming board meeting, potentially. So it sounds like the work sessions and the are going to be challenging to schedule another one.
My only concern about putting this on a regular board meeting that's already packed is that we won't have time for the conversation.
Yeah, that's why I don't have the agenda, or maybe we don't even know what the agenda is yet, but last week when we had the report from two staff people, which was really great, but that was a chunk of time. If there's anything like that scheduled in one of the upcoming meetings that could be delayed. We're after 12, so I want to be conscious of everybody's schedule.
I think Camille knows that we want this sooner rather than later, and she will find a perfect time to make it happen. No pressure.
Magic. Yeah. Michelle, anything else that you can think of? Emily?
No, I think we've done some good work here, and I think we probably are ready for the rest of the folks to weigh in.
So if I'm understanding, the next committee meeting will be scheduled after we figure out which date you have this discussion at the full board level. Is that correct?
Yeah, if we even need to meet again.
If we need to.
Okay, perfect.
I mean, all along we've said we wanted everyone to weigh in. I think we're at that point of everybody weigh in.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we can keep going around about what we think, but I think we've gone through it so many times. I think we need some different perspective.
Right. Well said. Okay, so are we ready to adjourn the meeting?
Sounds good.
Okay. Have a good week, everybody.
Thank you.
You too. Thanks.